This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray.
Words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. In his reflection about this gospel, our friend Brian McLaren writes this, and I quote, "Jesus didn't say the scripture had been fulfilled. He didn't say it was partially fulfilled and would be in the future. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The gospel is not just for a chosen few, but for all humankind." And the crowd flips from proud to concerned to disturbed to furious. End quote. That last little section of Brian's quote refers to next week's gospel, because it won't be long before those people in his hometown turn on Jesus to the point of wanting to throw him over a cliff. But today is different. Today is about resting in that love of God. And so I'd like you to take a deep breath. I'll wait. Take a deep breath. Today, we rest in the knowledge and love of God in Christ. And we sit at his feet today. We sit with him, listening and hopefully hearing what we are called to do alongside Jesus Christ in his mission statement from a text that he would have heard throughout his whole life. I have three stories for you today that depict the themes of all of these readings that we have heard this morning about his mission statement for all of us. And it speaks of the idea that all humankind is one. All humankind. The first story was said about 400 years before Jesus was born. The second story happened just this past Wednesday. And the third was a story that was told in the 18th century about a rabbi. All three point to this job description that you may have seen on the marquee when you came in, about loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves, reflecting what Jesus embodied for us. First story. You heard this same story read so beautifully by Dennis from the book of Nehemiah, and I'd like to just give you a synopsis in my own words here, because it's a complicated story. One morning, 400 years before Jesus Christ was born, all the people of Israel, get that, all the people, so their population obviously was not what it is today, all the people of Israel gathered in an area that would have held them all by the water gate. And when it says all people, that includes even those who were considered unclean, the outcasts. All of them would have been together. They asked Ezra, the chief priest and scribe, to read from them from their sacred Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the whole thing. Imagine, he gets up on a platform, and as soon as he opens the book, the people go crazy. They all stand up. As it goes on, they start waving their arms. They fall to the ground with their heads to the ground in worship, because they're finally hearing the story. They're finally hearing. And in the midst of that Torah, we find exactly love God and love your neighbor as yourself that Jesus later would say was the summary of everything, the summary of all the law and the prophets. And then, as it was read from morning until midday, took that long, they wept. Now, we don't know if they were weeping because they finally had the book of the law and they were all together again. They had just come back from exile in Babylon, and they were finally back together as a people in Israel. We're not sure if that's why they were weeping, or if they were weeping because of regret of not following the law, or if they were weeping just because of the very abiding presence that they could feel in their midst. We don't know. But Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the chief priest and scribe, and the other leaders told them, do not weep. This is a time of celebration. It's a time of joy, but get this. They also told them to not forget those people who had none, to take the celebration, anything that they were celebrating with, and share it with the people who had none, so that all celebrated. They were being told that they were one body, one people. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And the second story happened this past Wednesday. Many of us know Sam Mancuso and Marta. How many of you? Right? We remember Sam and Marta were members here for many, many, many years, very active members, moved up to Lake Placid a couple years ago. And they live about 14 miles from Sebring, Florida. This is last Wednesday, Sebring, Florida. They were going to go from Lake Placid. They did go from Lake Placid to Sebring, about 14 miles, to run some errands. One of them was banking in Sebring. And yes, that bank. They were almost to the bank, and they decided that instead of going to the bank, they were going to go to Lowe's first. And so they go to Lowe's, and the exact time that that heinous crime was happening in the bank, and one of their friends, Marisol Lopez, was one of the victims that was murdered. They would have been there. I wrote to Sam, I texted him, just to reach out to them as old friends, make sure that they were okay. He said that I could share with you what he wrote back to me. He said he was losing sleep and that they, you know, he was just kind of all over the place. He wasn't quite sure how to feel, and that's so understandable. But what was astounding, although not really, if you know Sam, what was keeping him up at night was that he said that had he been there, he could have helped. Not his near miss with death, but had he been there, he could have helped those people. That's Sam. He gets it. We are one people. And we pray for those victims as well as the troubled perpetrator. That's our job description. Third story. Martin Buber tells of a rabbi who, whenever he saw anyone suffering, either of spirit or of body, he shared it so earnestly that the other's suffering became his own. Once somebody expressed their astonishment at this capacity to share in another's troubles. What do you mean, share? Said the rabbi. It is my own sorrow. How can I help but suffer it? He got it. We are one people, not the same people. We all have our own unique expressions of God's love, but we are all part of the body of Christ, as we heard so beautifully from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Each of us has a role. We can be so quick to divide ourselves. God knows we are now, in our country especially. We can be so quick to turn away from those in need. We can be defensive, and we can be so caught up in being right instead of being kind. We all do it, all of us, to set ourselves up as better than someone else, and God weeps. An interesting way to consider this summary of the law, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, is a little bit deeper than what you may have heard as the usual discussion. The usual discussion is, now, don't forget, you got to be sure to love yourself first so that you can love your neighbor. And while that, I believe, is true, we can go a little deeper. Love your neighbor as yourself. Never thought of it that way until recently, as your very self. Not as just looking upon other people as somebody that you have to be kind to, but as part of the one body. Takes us into the beginning of the perspective that Christ taught us. We are one. There are many things, it's been said, that we can do on our own, but being Christian is not one of them. Is not one of them. We need one another. And when we have authentic relationships, we share our innermost anxieties and struggles, our hopes and our joys, our challenges, and most importantly, our vulnerabilities. When we really admit what's going on in our lives to another human being who is willing to listen, authentic change and evolution of our consciousness happens. And that's hard. It's hard. And I see it happening here a lot lately, especially we have this group called Grace Within, and that's exactly what's happening. We'll be seeing it in our small groups coming up in the fall and in the coming years. When we get real with one another, miracles happen. And then we can look at one another when we see one another as sisters and brothers, as mirrors of the divine that you are as a child of God. We are privileged this day to witness seven, count them, seven baptisms of children and babies. We will hear the vows of their parents and of their grandparents on the behalf of these children and infants of the very mission of which I speak, the mission that was fulfilled by Jesus and that all of you are going to be vowing to do with your children. This is no small thing. And then all of us will vow to do all in our power to uphold these children and these families and their lives in Christ. And we will not take that lightly. We are being called upon as well to renew our own baptismal promises so that we will be doing it right along with all of you. And I thank you for taking this step and for being courageous, because what you are promising today is a wild ride. It is wild, because when we invoke the name of God, whether in worship, in a baptism like this, or when we pray, we are invoking a power so much greater than anything we can ask or imagine. We are invoking the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what Annie Dillard wrote about this wild ride, and I quote, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews." End quote. That's the enormity of what you're promising. I don't want to scare you, but it's no small thing if we take it seriously. It's a radical way of being, and sometimes this life of compassion is just very simple. In closing, I love to tell this little story of a mom and two little girls who were coming home from school, and they pull in the driveway, and next door to them lived an elderly man who had been married for more than 50 years, had buried his wife a few months before, and he was sitting on his front porch. And they were good friends of this neighbor, had known him for a long time, had known the woman who died. And one of the little girls jumps out of the car, and she runs over next door. And the mom is looking like, what is she doing? And she climbs up into this old gentleman's lap and sits there for about 10 minutes. And the mom, you know, is really wondering what's going on, but waits. And then the little girl comes running back over, and the mom said, "What did you talk about?" And the little girl said, "Oh, I just helped him cry." We are to love God. Love one another as ourselves and transform this world. Amen.